So I've had the blessing of being able to stay in contact with one of my seminary professors, my history of the church professor specifically, Dr. Mary Havens. And as people do these days, we manage to stay in touch using social media, because that seems to be the way that we stay in contact with those folks that we've not seen for 30 years. And she had complained recently that one of the problems with Lutherans is that there is no effective way for a proper Lutheran to do a live stream worship service. And she says the problem with Lutherans doing live stream worship services is there's almost no good way to angle the camera in such a fashion that you get anything more than the first two or three rows of the church building. The problem with that is, as a rule, Lutherans sit in the back. And so you only see a handful of folks. And she says, I see all of these live streams every single week where it's church after church after church that you can't tell if they're absolutely empty and there's no one in them or if they're absolutely jam-packed with people in the last rows. She makes a point. I actually went back and looked over my own stream here at First Lutheran and I had somebody comment to me about this just a little while ago. They said I was watching on Facebook, and I thought to myself, oh, what a shame. It must be really, really thin in church today. And then we got around to communion, and people just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And I was watching, and I was like, how many people have you got packed in the back of that building? And, you know, there's a degree of truth to this fact. You don't always have to see a thing for it to have an impact. You don't always have to see a thing for it to be deep. You don't always have to see what a thing is on the surface of it to know that it makes an enormous change, an impact in the world around it. Sort of like a Lutheran church service live streaming, you get to see only a fraction of what really is going on. And to all the folks watching out there, I swear there's lots of other folks back there. The unseen effects of God's presence are powerful. When Jesus is talking about sending the Holy Spirit into the world, he says, I am going to send you, and he uses this great Greek word, that we oftentimes translate advocate. The word is in Greek paraclete. Paraclete means one who is a champion for, or one who defends and protects. Somewhere between a bodyguard and a lawyer, the paraclete is there to defend you against all things that might be of danger to you. But Jesus says, you won't see the paraclete. You won't see the Holy Spirit. His presence won't be like my presence, Jesus says. You can see me, you can talk to me, you can have lunch with me, but you won't see the Holy Spirit. You will only see its effect. Sort of like watching the live stream of a Lutheran worship service. You don't see all of the people until the communion happens, and then the line continues to come forward and come forward and come forward. You see that effect happening. So when Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, he is talking about a thing that moves us in unseen ways, but has deep impact and finds itself buried well within the human heart. I suppose this is a very, very important scripture passage to have on, of all days, Mother's Day Sunday. Because, of course, that is exactly what we have with our mothers. We have people who have made great and deep impact on us, whose love, whose witness, whose every little action has found its way into the very depths of our hearts. The things that they have done and the things that they have sacrificed to do, make us who we are. You may not necessarily see that on the surface. But at least once a year, It is good for us to remember, that on Mother's Day, we have this incredible wellspring that has been placed within our lives, that comes out in all of the actions that we do. My own mother passed away when I was still in college. But I've been blessed. I've been wonderfully blessed in my life that other women have chosen to give of themselves to me and to mother me, to be a part of my life, my wife's life, my children's life, and be a mother in so many different ways, to share of themselves, and truly shared of themselves, because the things that they've done, the things that they've taught, the things that they've shared, have truly stayed with us, become a part of us. You may not necessarily always see that right there on the surface, but all of the actions in life that mean so much are born from those mothering moments. And for me, the most significant elements of those women that God put in my life to serve as my mother figures have been elements of faith, sharing with me their deep and abiding relationship with God. My own mother passed away of a fairly terrible genetic disorder. Sadly, runs on the women's side of my family. A fairly incurable disease. She faced what should have been a very short battle. They told her 2 to 3 years at the absolute most. She went more like 10. A very, very strong woman in that way. And she did not want to give up on this life for the single and simple reason that she did not want to leave her children without her witness and her presence and her love. In fact, the doctors were sometimes very surprised at my mother's incredible longevity, and she would always say, "But I've got to be there for my boys, my brother and I." She faced all of that hardship and difficulty with strength that came from her faith. Her prayer life, her witness. Is she a perfect human being? No. None of us are. But it was with her faith that she battled forward to be with her children until she could battle no longer. We lost her. But her sister, my aunt, stepped into that role, stepped into a lot of roles in my life, was everything from the mother to my and my wife, but the grandmother to my children, was the youth group director for our youth group, was the mom to every kid that ever walked into First Lutheran Church in Parkersburg, West Virginia. She let us do things no sane mother would let another kid do. As high school students in our various different youth group activities, we would oftentimes go over after youth group to her house, which was normal enough for me because, you know, I was her nephew. But there would be 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 other high schoolers who would wind up coming over to her house to continue our discussions that we'd had about God in her home. And we would talk and we would enjoy one another's company. And sometimes we would get into a little bit of mischief, and she was very, very kind. If you've ever watched a movie and seen somebody that had a full-scale, all-out food fight, I don't mean just threw some peas at each other. I mean a run through the house and take all the contents out of the fridge and have a full-scale, movie-style food fight. And you've ever thought, would that be any fun in reality? The answer is yes. And the cleanup is a bear. Anybody else in their right mind would have finish their career as a youth group leader at that exact point and said, "That's it. These kids are way too much trouble." She stuck with us. Because that's what a mother does. They stick by their children in every circumstance. They love them. They care for them. And they are an advocate. An advocate ultimately for their faith. The faith that brings them life, brings them hope, brings them assurance, brings them peace. That is what the advocate that Jesus Christ is describing does. It is our source of connection that cannot be broken. And of course, that is the beauty of love, is it gives us a connection that can't be broken. I said, I was in college when my mother died. And I know this is going to come as a surprise to you all, but that was over 30 years ago for me. It might not come as a surprise to you, but every time I say it out loud, it comes as a surprise to me. Because it doesn't seem like there's any way I'm in my 50s. And yet, my mother is still connected to me. I still see her behind so many of the things that I do and say and think. Fortunately, my aunt, who stepped into that role, who's the mother-in-law to my wife and grandmother to my children and mother to me, is still with us and quite healthy and continues to have an abiding presence in our lives. God has placed any number of fine women in my life who have had likewise control over that gate that we all have in our heart that allows love to come through us. This is what we hope for. And this is what God plans for humanity. And this is what God has stepped in on a grander scale to provide us with the Holy Spirit. The advocate. The one that is both defender and enabler. The one that gives us strength and courage. But when we don't have the strength and courage that we need, stands in front of us and defends us out of love. The paraclete, the champion, the mother. And so here on Mother's Day, we remember not just the great gift that God has given us, for each and every one of us have a mother. We wouldn't be here if we didn't. It would be biologically impossible. We recognize that we have received greatly from God. But we also recognize that God has given to each and every one of us the incredible gift that is the Holy Spirit, that truly inhabits our hearts, our lives, that our behaviors, our choices, the very, very foundation of who we are flows from our relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. While none of us show it on the outside. I mean, in the story that we will get to on the Sunday of Pentecost, very briefly you can see the Holy Spirit on the disciples as though it were a tongue of flame, it says, on top of their heads. Fortunately, we don't have that anymore. I have to imagine it would make a lot of life very difficult if we did. Hats, for example, would be right out. But the simple reality of the fact is, the Holy Spirit is within us, unseen and yet seen in all of our actions, all of our motions, all of our faith, present just like our mothers. And this is a reminder to us of God's love. Amen.